Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
You ever get those stories? You know, the ones that really stick with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, well, this is one of them. We're diving into your experience. You shared it on the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast. And let me tell you, it's, Nightmare might not even cover it.
Right.
Yeah.
Intense.
So, multi-chapter saga here, unfolding in a Philadelphia townhouse. Noise complaints, privacy violations, this undercurrent of tension.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to escalate, doesn't it? Every time you think it can't get worse.
It's like a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
You laid out this really interesting contrast at the beginning, right? It's not like we're dealing with, you know, a rundown building or some obvious problem from day one.
Right, right.
This was a spacious townhouse, desirable part of the city. You even mentioned a sense of community, if I remember right.
You did. You made it sound almost idyllic. You were excited about this place. And honestly, who wouldn't be? Top two floors of a townhouse. I mean, that's a real find.
Exactly. So it makes the sharp turn, this nosedive your story takes, that much more unsettling, almost like a classic horror movie, you know?
Ooh, I see what you're getting at.
Start with this idyllic setting, right? Beautiful, peaceful. Lull the audience into this false sense of security, then bam. Everything goes sideways.
It's that contrast that gets you, that honeymoon phase that just makes the fall from grace that much more jarring.
Exactly.
And you started picking up on these like red flags pretty early on, right?
Yeah.
The shouting, the cursing, all coming from downstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
Directed at the children. You even mentioned that the intensity, the sheer frequency of it was beyond what anyone would consider just like typical family noise.
And that's a critical thing you picked up on. I mean, we all know families, kids, there are going to be raised voices every now and then.
Sure.
But this wasn't that. This was a consistent pattern of verbal aggression, and towards children especially. That raises huge red flags, big ones. Suggests a potentially volatile home environment, maybe even dangerous.
It makes you wonder, right? At that stage, was there an opportunity to intervene? Could something have been done, anything to, I don't know, address the situation before it became this nightmare?
It's the question, isn't it? The what if that haunts these situations. It's natural, especially in a new living situation, to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, absolutely.
Hope things work themselves out. But imagine, just for a second, that there was some early intervention, some support offered to this family. I mean, could it have changed things?
It's impossible to say for sure.
It is. It is. But involving the building manager, maybe other residents, that could have, at the very least, opened up some kind of dialogue, right? Offered resources, established some boundaries.
It's like that sense of community you initially felt, right? It's a double-edged sword in a way. Source of comfort, sure, but also a potential support system if things go south. And boy, did they ever. You described that first smoke incident. The fear of fire, the panic, that's got to be terrifying.
Absolutely terrifying. And, you know, what's really telling is Mrs. Thompson's reaction, or should I say, lack thereof.
Oh, explain.
Instead of acknowledging the potential danger, the fear she caused, she just downplays it, the whole thing.
Wow.
And this pattern, this dismissal, minimizing the impact of her family's actions, it's constant, a recurring theme throughout your whole story.
It's like she was trying to control the narrative, even when it came to a potential fire. And that need for control, it sounds like it just intensified after that, didn't it?
It did. You described her campaign against the building manager, Mr. Davis. It went beyond disagreement.
Right.
It became so personal, vindictive almost, wouldn't you say?
100%. And as if dealing with Mrs. Thompson wasn't enough, her teenage son, Tommy, enters the scene.
Yes, Tommy. Like throwing fuel on an already out of control fire.
A recipe for disaster.
His presence, it seemed to amplify all the existing tensions, wouldn't you say? You described his tantrums, slamming doors, just this feeling that his behavior was escalating right alongside his mother's, and all of this happening within the walls of your shared home.
You must have felt so trapped.
Like there was no escape. And on top of it all, you were exhausted, sleep deprived, actually.
Right. You mentioned the constant loud music, sometimes for days on end, if I'm remembering correctly.
You are. And the timing of it always seems so deliberate during the day when you were trying to sleep after working those night shifts.
Ugh. It's like they knew.
It's that detail, the timing, that's so significant. It wasn't just about being a nuisance. It was directly targeting you, impacting your well-being, your ability to function. Calculated, almost.
So let's recap. We've got potential fires, aggressive behavior, a hostile neighbor, and now chronic sleep deprivation. It's the perfect recipe for complete mental and emotional exhaustion.
It really is. And honestly, it's a form of psychological warfare. By disrupting your sleep, by keeping you constantly on edge, Mrs. Thompson was chipping away at your ability to cope with everything else.
So then it makes you wonder, was that the goal all along? To assert control, to wear you down. It's a chilling thought.
It is. And unfortunately for you, things were about to get a whole lot creepier, but we'll dive into that in part two.
Okay, so we left off, and you're feeling trapped, exhausted, this, like, constant unease in your own home. Then you mentioned something in your account, and honestly, it gave me chills. The cameras.
Yeah, the cameras. Focus right on your balconies, and that's where this goes from, like, annoying neighbor stuff to something else intrusive. A total invasion of privacy.
It's like straight out of a psychological thriller or something.
Right.
You even said you felt like you were living in some reality show, constantly being watched.
That's the thing about surveillance, right? It messes with your head. It's one thing to think you might be watched, but to actually see those cameras pointed at your space, so creepy.
It creates this like hyper-awareness, vulnerable, exposed. Mm. And honestly, those feelings can be really unsettling, even traumatizing for some people.
And it just got worse from there, didn't it? You said that Frank, Mrs. Thompson's partner, he started getting more involved. And things got even more aggressive, like way more overt.
Exactly. This is where it shifts, you know, from those passive aggressive moves to straight up intimidation tactics. Mm-hmm. You described like Frank recording you and Mark walking the dog, blocking the parking lot, those headlights in your face.
It was scary.
Of course it was. These weren't random annoyances. This was deliberate, meant to scare you, to control you.
And it worked. I mean, you were scared. Who wouldn't be? But then there was the detail about the spiked bat. And that's when it went from bad to terrifying. Absolutely. A weapon changes everything. Even if it's never actually used, just the fact that it exists, that he showed it to you.
Threat.
Exactly. A threat. Like, physical violence is on the table now. It just, like, takes everything you were already going through and magnifies it.
It's crazy, right? How something that starts as, what, just a neighbor dispute turns into this. Makes you wonder if you missed signs early on or something.
It's easy to brush those early things off, convince yourself it's nothing. This just shows how important it is to trust your gut. If something feels wrong, it probably is.
And your gut was screaming at you by this point, I bet.
Right.
But even with all that going on, you tried to reason with them, to find some kind of resolution, to make it stop. Walk me through that.
This is where, if you look closely, you see Mrs. Thompson's MO, you know, this pattern she has. Every time you try to talk, whether it's a note, a conversation, bringing someone else in.
Doesn't matter.
Denial.
Yeah.
Deflection. Blaming you for everything.
Classic gaslighting.
Yeah.
Making you doubt your own mind.
Exactly. And it works, sadly. Especially when you're already feeling isolated, like you were then.
So just to recap here, we've got the noise, the intimidation, the mind games. And through it all, you're just trying to, I don't know, survive. Be a good tenant. Maintain some normalcy. Exhausting.
Beyond exhausting. And completely unfair. But then, just when you think it can't get weirder, you bring up the credit card incident.
Oh, right. That was so strange. Finding Frank's credit card in your laundry. It came out of nowhere.
Which, of course, makes it even more unsettling. Was it on purpose? Another way to scare you. Or was it just a mistake, a weird coincidence with a simple explanation? We don't know.
It's like suspicious either way. Just adds to the whole feeling that something is very wrong.
And unfortunately, as we'll hear, your nightmare wasn't over yet.
So last we left off, things were very clearly very bad. You were living in this pressure cooker, never knowing what your downstairs neighbors might do next. And then another smoke incident.
Oh, wow. Given what you'd already been through, that must have just sent chills down your spine. The thought of another fire, the fear, just awful.
Right. And it makes you wonder at that point, was it even an accident or something?
Worse.
It really does. It speaks to a, I'd say a pretty calculated cruelty. To use someone's basic need for safety, for security in their own home as a weapon.
Oof.
That's just chilling. And this time, it sounds like it was the final straw for you. The confrontation with Frank, the bat.
Yeah.
Thank goodness the fire department showed up when they did.
It's a relief that things didn't escalate further, that no one was hurt. But even when there's intervention, even when that immediate threat is gone, the damage is already done. You can't just erase those memories.
Right. It's not like you can just flip a switch and erase those months of stress, the fear. You mentioned still struggling with anxiety, and that makes total sense. It would be strange not to have lasting effects after going through all that.
Absolutely. We're talking about a sustained campaign of harassment here, not just a one-off thing. And trauma like that, well, it stays with you. It changes how you see the world, how you feel in your own home.
It makes you question everything, right? Even your own judgment.
Right. And what makes this whole thing even worse is that from what you've shared, there was never any accountability, no apology, nothing, just silence.
And that's got to be one of the hardest parts. No closure. It's like that feeling of, I don't know, waiting for the other shoe to drop, even though you aren't even there anymore.
Right. You're left with all these unanswered questions, these what ifs. It can feel like the nightmare never really ended, even though the situation itself has changed.
So where does that leave you then?
Yeah.
Still trying to make sense of it all, I imagine, trying to heal. What advice can we offer? What can we say to help?
Honestly, sometimes the most powerful thing is just validation. You were heard. What happened to you, it was real, it was wrong, and your feelings about it are valid. Don't let anyone, not even that little voice in your head, tell you otherwise.
It's easy to get caught in those spirals of self-doubt, you know, like maybe I overreacted, maybe it wasn't that bad. But the truth is, it sounds like you went through something truly awful.
You did. And while it might feel impossible right now, healing is possible. It takes time, support, and often it takes professional help.
To process the trauma, develop healthy coping mechanisms for the anxiety, for the fear. Yeah. And that's okay. It's a sign of strength to reach out for help when you need it.
Exactly. You are not alone in this. There are resources out there, people who understand and want to help you navigate this.
You know, listening to your story, it makes me think about the bigger picture here. How do we prevent these situations from happening in the first place?
It's a huge question, a complicated one.
Right. How can we create communities where those early warning signs are recognized, where people feel safe coming forward, asking for help?
Where intervention is possible, yeah, before it escalates into something like this. It starts with talking about it, sharing these stories, breaking down the stigma that keeps people silent.
Because that shame, that feeling of being alone, it only adds to the trauma.
Absolutely.
And maybe that's where change really begins. With each story, with each voice amplified, we move a little bit closer to a world where everyone feels safe and respected in their own homes. Thank you for trusting us with yours.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.